today on Revival Radio with Pastor John Miller.
You know what God will often do? He'll let you exhaust your strength, exhaust your resources, exhaust your intellect, and completely come to the end of yourself, which is the best place you could ever come. To hit bottom so that you will look up. Come to the end of yourself so you see, Jesus, I need you. Jesus, would you help me?
When a hint of a storm is brewing, it's common to want to go away instantly. Yet all too often, storms brew and grow and sometimes become trouble before God rescues you from that storm. You're fighting, striving, and working with all your might and strength before surrendering your storm to God. As Pastor John explains today, God may allow you to get to the end of yourself and exhaust all of your worldly strengths. He wants you to come to Him first and trust Him no matter what. Now let's join Pastor John in the book of Matthew chapter 14 as he continues his message, The Night of Tempest.
Do you know that you might be here right now? God had me preach this sermon because He wants you to know that what you're going through is to correct you, to get you back on the right path. You're going the wrong way. So if so, repent, turn, and get right with God. Don't keep going the wrong direction. Let that storm wake you up to your need of God in your life. So there are protection storms, there's perfection storms, and there's correction storms. Remember God's providence. He brought you here. You're here by design. It's a purpose. You know, God controls all our circumstances in life. Sometimes when just annoying little things go wrong in your day, it's like, Lord, what are you trying to teach me? What are you trying to show me? And ask the Lord to show you. Let me give you the second anchor for your soul, His prayers. So we have, first of all, His providential care. He brought me here. Secondly, we have His prayers. He sees, He knows, He's praying. He's praying for me. Now, notice in verse 23 and 24, and when He had sent the multitude away, there's the 5,000, He went up into a mountain apart to pray. That's His prayer. And when it was evening, here's our nighttime scene. When evening was come, He was there alone. But when the ship was now in the midst, verse 24, of the sea, tossed with the waves and the wind were contrary. Now, in Mark chapter 6, in verse 48, there's a parallel account. The Bible says that when Jesus came walking on the water, that He first from the mountain, catch this, saw them toiling. Jesus looked down from the mountain on the sea and saw them toiling in the night. Now you say, well, how would Jesus from the mountain see them in the dead of night toiling on the sea? The first night I ever spent at the Sea of Galilee on one of our trips was right on the Lake Galilee looking out over the water at night, and there was a full moon. And it was a beautiful night. I'll never forget. The moonlight was coming all the way across the Sea of Galilee. And as people passed by in the night on the lake, they were silhouetted in the moonlight. You could see them out. And the Sea of Galilee is 8 miles across. So even in the midst of the sea, 4 miles out, Jesus could see them, no doubt, silhouetted. He didn't need His divine omniscience. He knew by His own natural eyes that they were struggling on the sea. So I believe that Jesus then began to pray for them. How marvelous. Did you know the Bible tells us that Jesus is praying for us? Write down Romans 8, verse 34. Says that even Jesus, who's at the right hand of God, is living to make intercession for us. So He sees us, He knows us, He hasn't forgotten us. The natural response to a storm is what? God, where are you? God, have you forgotten me? God, do you know what's going on? And we need to realize He sees, He knows, He's praying. In Matthew chapter 6, it says Jesus knows the birds, that when one falls and dies, that you're more value than many sparrows, so that we need to remember that your Father in heaven will take care of you. So Jesus, I believe, is praying, number one, for Himself, to do the Father's will. Number two, his disciples, that they would be strengthened and helped. And number three, he prays today for us. So we learn that what is hidden from us is not hidden from God. You know, this is something that we forget. We look ahead and we're encouraged by the hope of heaven, and you should. We look back and we remember Calvary, where Jesus died for our sins, and we're encouraged. He died for my sins. But we need to look up and remember that Jesus right now is in heaven, and he sees me, and he knows me, and he's praying for me. So when you think no one knows, no one cares, no one's praying, Jesus knows, loves, and he cares, and he's praying for you. Remember when Jesus turned to Peter and he said, Peter, Satan wants you to sift you like wheat. Now, can you imagine the Lord turning to you and say, hey, Satan called me last night. He asked for you by name. He said he wants you. Well, what'd you tell him, Lord? What'd you tell him? Told him no, right? But Jesus said, listen, Peter, I prayed for you. And after you fall, when you are converted, I want you to strengthen your brothers. So Jesus was praying for Peter. Though he fell, though he denied the Lord, he was restored, and he went on for a life of service with Jesus Christ. So we have his prayers. Let me give you anchor number three. Write it down. We have his providential care. He brought me here. We have his prayers. He's praying for me. But thirdly, when we're in a storm, we're buffeted by the waves, remember this, he will come to me. Verse 25. So on the fourth watch of the night, now the fourth watch was 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. The Romans divided the night into four watches. So the fourth watch was 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. I don't know about you, but I'm sleeping at that time. I'm fast asleep. So it's darkest before the dawn. And then it says that he came walking, verse 25, on the sea. This is a miracle. It indicates his divine sovereignty over nature. Jesus is the Son of God. Now, when the disciples saw him, verse 26, walking on the sea, they were troubled. That means they were freaked out. And they cried, saying, it is a spirit or a ghost. And they cried out for fear. When we are afraid, it's an evident sign that we're not trusting God and we are filled with fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, verse 27, and said, be of good cheer. Literally, that is, take courage. It is I, or use the word I am, be not afraid. Now, Jesus, when he came walking on the sea in Mark 6, another cross-reference there, actually, the Bible says, and this is almost humorous, he made as though he was going to walk right by them. Now, that just makes me laugh. It was not easy to be a disciple. He'd send you out on the boat, out in the night, in a storm. Then he shows up to freak you out. Don't you hate when somebody scares you for a joke and they think it's funny? You'd be like punching them. It wasn't funny. You scared me. So he says, hey, get in the boat, guys. Hey, go for a ride in the boat. He goes, watch this. I'm going to freak him out. And he shows up just walking along, and he makes like he's just going to go cruising by. Hey, guys, what's up? I'm just going to go walking right by you. And he's like, it's a ghost. He goes walking by. So Jesus comes to them and makes as though he would pass by. Now, these facts about his coming to them are interesting. Number one, as I've already pointed out, look at verse 25. He came in the darkest hour of the night, the fourth watch. Here's the point. Man's extremity is God's opportunity. You know what God will often do? He'll let you exhaust your strength, exhaust your resources, exhaust your intellect, and completely come to the end of yourself, which is the best place you could ever come. To hit bottom so that you will look up. Come to the end of yourself so you see, Jesus, I need you. Jesus, would you help me? So he actually came at the darkest hour of the night. And all through this story, by the way, you find in the King James Bible the word straightway, 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 which means immediately. You know that God's timing is perfect? Now, if it was the fourth watch, And they were sent out in the evening before sunset. They have been in the storm, rowing against the wind and the waves for 8 hours. 8 hours. And that is a big body of water, though it's a freshwater lake. It's 8 miles wide and 13 miles long. And I don't know about you, but if I went down in the middle of the Lake Galilee, I wouldn't be able to swim 4 miles to the shore in the storm. Or 13 miles all the way to the other end of the lake, by no means. So they're freaking out. But God many times allows us to come to the end of ourselves. Try to fix your marriage. You try to work out the problems. Come to the end of yourself and you say, we need God. Why not come to Him sooner and trust in Him? Notice secondly about His coming in verse 26, that He came in the storm. The wind and the waves were contrary. And the very wind and the waves that the disciples feared was the path that was bringing Jesus to them. Did you know you meet the Lord in the storms of life? That God speaks in the storms more than in the calm? And then thirdly, He spoke to them. I love it, verse 27. Immediately Jesus spoke to them saying, be of good cheer, or take courage. And then when He said, it is I, He used that phrase, ego eimi, or the great I am. Same name that God gave Himself when He spoke to Moses. Tell him, I am hath sent you. It's a claim to be Jehovah or Yahweh. He's claiming to be God. So He says, I am. And then thirdly, He said, be not afraid. You know that God can take away your fears right now? Your fear of death. Your fear of sorrow and suffering, all your phobias and your fears, Jesus is the answer. He can actually help you to live a life free of fear. Now, a little faith can bring your soul to heaven by trusting Christ, but you know, a lot of faith will bring heaven to your soul right now in the storms of life. So we need to grow in our faith. So He's telling them, look it, I will be with you. Be not afraid. Be of good cheer. We have His presence. In Psalm 139, it says, whether shall I flee from thy spirit? Whether shall I go from your presence? If I ascend into the heavens, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings in the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, thy right hand shall hold me. Surely the darkness shall cover me not, but the night shall be light about me. The darkness abides not in thee. From the night shineth as the day, and the darkness as the light. Both are alike to you. So whether it's darkness or distance, God is with you. He may not sense Him, but He's promised never to leave you or forsake you. In Isaiah 43, verse 2, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. So we have His presence. He comes to us. Here's the fourth anchor in the storm. Write it down. We have His purpose. His purpose. He will help me to grow. He will help you to grow through that time. Look at verse 28 down to verse 31. Peter answered and said unto him, Lord, if it is you, bid me come unto thee on the water. Now the other guys are thinking, what in the world are you doing, Peter? This could be a ghost. You're talking to a ghost, asking it to call you out on the water. But Peter evidently sensed when he heard the Lord's voice. And this is what God does to us. He speaks to us through His Word. When you're going through a storm, you hear His voice very clearly in the Word. And then Peter says, Lord, in faith, I want you to call me. I want to come to you on the water. And then Jesus said, verse 29, come. And when Peter was come down out of the boat, Peter walked on water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, that it was boisterous, he was afraid, and he began to sink, and he cried, saying, here's his prayer, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth His hand and caught Peter and said to him, O thou of little faith, wherefore dost thou doubt? Now, this is one of our favorite little stories in the Bible. We all love the story of Jesus walking on the water, Peter getting out of the boat and walking on the water to Jesus. And again, it's a miracle, and I believe it happened. Jesus walked on water, Peter walked on water, both miraculous. In ancient hieroglyphics, Egyptian hieroglyphics, the symbol of the impossible. We're 2 feet on top of water. So this is an impossible situation. You cannot walk on water. But God can do what's impossible. Amen? And God can allow you to do what seems to be impossible. So the lessons on Peter, he stepped out in faith. Now, a lot of preachers like to bash Peter. Oh, Peter, why'd you get out of the boat? Oh, Peter, why'd you look at the waves? Oh, Peter, why did you sink? Oh, Peter, of little faith. But nobody else was walking. Nobody else was stepping out of the boat. I commend Peter. I think a lot of preachers are going to have Peter looking for them when they get to heaven. Hey, dude, I want to talk to you about that sermon on me. You really, really capped on me there. Hey, I don't know what the deal is. So I don't want Peter to get mad at me. I'm not going to get down on Peter. It took faith to step out of that boat. Faith in that he heard Jesus' voice. We hear God's word. We obey his command. Become doers of the word. And he set his eyes on Jesus and he walked on water. But in verse 30, his faith began to falter, as often ours does as well. When he looked at the wind and the waves, they were boisterous. And he became fearful. And what happened? He began to sink. He began to sink. So when we get our eyes off of Jesus, and this is a simple message that we've all heard so many times that we must never forget. Don't take your eyes off Jesus and look at the circumstances. Keep your eyes always on Jesus. You look at your problems, you look at your weakness, you look at your bank account, you look at your wallet and there's no money in it and you get depressed, or you look in the mirror and get depressed. There's a lot of things that'll bum you out. Or you look at your kids. You know, when they're little, they step on your feet, but when they get old, they can step on your heart. Break your heart. Life is not easy. It's difficult. So we got to get our eyes off of the circumstance. Don't look at the waves. Don't look at the wind. Don't look at the darkness of the night. I can't see him. I don't feel him. Just look at Jesus right in front of you. It's so very important. And Peter begins to walk, but when he turned his eyes off of Jesus, he began to sink. You might be sinking right now in despair for just one simple reason. You're not looking to Jesus. You're not fixing your eyes upon him, who is the author and finisher of your faith. Amen. So Peter began to sink, and I've always wondered, how deep did he go before he cried out, Lord, save me? Was he at his waist? Was he flailing? Was he up to his neck or his chin? Was the water right up to the bottom of the mouth? Lord, save me. Going on, save me. Just one hand flailing above the water when Jesus reached out and pulled it up. I don't know. But would to God that we would cry out to the Lord before we sink. Amen. And I love Peter's prayer. And here's the point I want to make. Jesus didn't rebuke Peter for getting out of the boat. He didn't rebuke Peter for walking on water. He rebuked Peter for lack of faith. Oh, ye of little faith, why did you doubt? But Peter's prayer is so sincere, so heartfelt, so genuine. Notice he didn't take the time he's sinking in the waves. He didn't say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. By the time he got to lead us not to temptation, he's at the bottom of the sea. Nor did he say, in Jesus' name. He just said, Lord, save me. It was a prayer of faith. But it was little faith. And so Peter's rescued. And here's what happens to Peter, what happens to us. He grew in his faith. The only way to grow your faith is to exercise it. And the only way to exercise it is in a storm, is in trouble, is trials. So we have to look to Jesus, we have to call on his name, and then he reaches out his hands and he delivers us and helps us grow. Let me give you the fifth and last anchor for your soul when you're going through a storm. We have his power. His power. He will see me through. Not only will he help me grow, but he will see me through. Look at verse 32 and 33. And when they were come unto the boat, the wind stopped. That was a miracle. Then they that were in the boat came. And notice what it says, verse 33. Worshipped him and said, Of a truth, you are the Son of God. So all these miracles took place. Jesus walked on water. Peter walked on water. The minute Jesus got in the boat with Peter, the wind stopped, verse 32. And then John chapter 6, verse 28 or 21 says that the minute they got back in the boat, not only did the storm stop, they were immediately at land where they would go. And then fifthly, the disciples' eyes were opened, verse 33, and they knew who Jesus was. Here's my point. When you are going through a storm, Jesus will reveal himself like never before. You will worship him as you experience his power and his strength in your life. You have his power as well as his presence. Now notice these things in verse 33. They worshiped him and they confessed him, "Thou art the Son of God." The first time in the gospel story where the disciples are said to, quote, worship Jesus is here in this verse. This is the first time others had worshiped him. This is the first time they worshiped him. Now, it's interesting. Earlier in the life and ministry of Jesus with his disciples, in Matthew chapter 8, Jesus was with them. This is another episode. In the boat, on the sea, at night, and a storm came. This is when they woke him up, sleeping on his pillow. Jesus traveled with a pillow, so I do that too. It's biblical. He's asleep. I take naps. Jesus did it. So the waves are crashing over the boat. The storms, the wind's blowing. They wake Jesus up. And they say, "Don't you care? Don't you care that we're all going to drown? We're all going to die?" And Jesus goes, "Oh, ye of little faith." Stands up and he looks at the wind and the waves and he said, "Peace, be still." Literally, he said, "Be muzzled." And the wind stopped and the waves stopped. And there was a great calm. And this is what the disciples said earlier. They said, "Who is this man that even the wind and the waves obey him?" Now, when he comes walking on the water in the storm, and Peter walks on the water, and they get back in the boat, what do they say? They say, "Truly, you are the Son of God." So the whole purpose of the story is for them to know that Jesus is God, and for them to grow in their faith. So God wants you to know who he is and to grow in your faith. Truly you are the Son of God. So the first time they confessed him. So two first times. First time they worshiped him. First time they confessed him. So they're growing in their faith, even as Peter grew in his faith when he walked on water. Write down Psalm 46, verse 10. Where the psalmist says, "Be still and know that I am what? I am," there it is, ego eimi, "I am God." The word "be still and know" means to take your hands off. Take your hands off the problems, fix your eyes on Jesus Christ, and know that he is God. So there are five anchors for the storms of life. Number one, his providence, he brought me here. Number two, his prayers, he's praying for me. Number three, his presence, he will come to me in the storms of life. Number four, his purpose, he will help me grow and mature. And number five, his power, he will see me through.
Everyone wants to avoid the storms. They're difficult and exhausting. But as Pastor John explained today, storms are always under his control and he will use them for your eventual good. Don't try to fight a storm by yourself. You'll just wear yourself out. He wants you to turn to him instantly. Keep your eyes firmly fixed on him. Trust him and step out in faith. Remember he's with you and rely on his strength and power.
Sadly, many people have the wrong impression about the heart of God in regards to giving. We've all heard the pleas for money and support. Here at Revival Radio, we want you to be led by the Lord in your giving. Yes, it takes financial resources to produce Revival Radio, and we encourage you to support this ministry prayerfully. Every donation helps with airtime on stations just like the one you're listening to right now. Would you seek the Lord about supporting Revival Radio? revival.tv/give is the place you can provide a one-time donation or support Revival Radio monthly. Again, that's revival.tv/give.
Every person in every nation will eventually face their last night. And though some nations seem quite powerful and invincible, there will ultimately be an end as they face the judgment of God. Next time on Revival Radio, Pastor John will explain the night of retribution that the king of Babylon faced. This story in Daniel should serve as a wake-up call to all of the power and holiness of God. That's all we have time for today. Tune in next time as Pastor John continues teaching through his series, Night Scenes of the Bible, right here on Revival Radio.